As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's a pleasure to be here today with you. It's been a rough week, though, hasn't it, friends? If you're like me, you're just kind of living in this fog, almost like autopilot, and there's just a lot of uncertainty. One thing's clear is we really don't know what to believe, do we? I mean, I was so confident on Tuesday night. I was sure that we were making a comeback. I was sure that people would understand just how much our president has done for us, how much he's done for the world. And I was certain that they would vote for the economy. And my biggest hope was that he would win those electoral votes that he needed and possibly even get the popular vote. And maybe that was wishful thinking. Maybe I was completely wrong to think that that could even be a possibility. But I really wanted to have a mandate. I really wanted to not give the other side, the side that has fought against him for 4 years, that has done everything they could possibly do and more to try to get rid of him, to stop him, to block him. And I want you to keep in mind that they weren't fighting against the president. They were not fighting against Donald J. Trump. They were fighting against American values. They were fighting against you and I, the things that are important to us. They were fighting against freedom and liberty, our Constitution, the foundation that our framers worked so hard to make sure that we had a chance to give us something that nobody had ever been given before. You know, we were an experiment. We still are an experiment. But let me tell you, my friends, the American dream is real. And over the years, I feel like in a lot of ways we've forgotten about that. But this last 4 years, with Donald Trump as our president, for me anyway, and I believe for many of you, he reminded you of that. He reminded you that anything's possible. He did make America great again. That's not just some fancy slogan. That wasn't just brilliant marketing. He knew that we could achieve so much more. He knew that we could do better. He knew that we could be better. And he was tired of watching people that don't believe in our country, people that don't believe in us, do everything they can to destroy this republic. He was tired of our enemies laughing at us and taking advantage of us. He was tired of us being stupid and allowing these things to happen. The man is definitely no politician. I will say I think he's a brilliant businessman. I think he's a fighter. But he's definitely no politician. But I'll tell you what he did do. He kept his promise. He might be the only president since Abraham Lincoln that kept his promise to the American people. The promises that he campaigned on, the things that he said he wanted to do, the things he told you that he would accomplish, he did that. It wasn't easy. He had opposition the entire time. People in his own party were working against him. There was corruption. When he said drain the swamp, boy, we didn't realize just how nasty that swamp is, did we? I don't think he realized how nasty it was. I said on the last show that I think one of his biggest problems from the time he was sworn in was that he didn't immediately get rid of just about everybody that he could have fired. CIA directors, FBI directors, all their minions. I think he didn't realize that in those agencies, those law enforcement agencies, that there was a possibility of corruption like it was. And just how deeply embedded that ideology is. Or how influenced those guys are, guys and gals, through the oligarchs that believe they run this country. The Soroses of the world. I think we wasted a lot of time dealing with people that, by all rights, they should have been gone on day one that President Trump was sworn in. I don't know what's going to happen yet. I know we have a long court battle ahead of us. I know that Donald Trump is a fighter and he's going to go down swinging. He does not like to lose and he believes he was wronged. And I tell you what, I know he was wronged and I think everybody does. I think the Democrats know that he was wronged. I don't know that it will change things. But I think, you know, what we've seen the last couple days with him and some of the brief press meetings he's had and the statements that he's given or what he's written on Twitter, I know the left is really trying, not just the left, the media in general are really trying to make him look bad and do everything they can to hurt him further. But what I see is a man that's very frustrated. I see a man that is surprised, a man that loves this country, that loves the citizens of this country, that feels like he has sacrificed so much to give and to make us great again. I feel like he feels like he's completely underappreciated, and he is. And I think he's hurt. I think his heart is broken. And I think he's angry. And I get that. And I agree with him. Look at everything that he's endured since he was sworn in. I don't like it. I don't have the answer. I don't know what's next. I think my gut tells me that it's, unless there's some card that hasn't been played yet, unless there's some top secret thing going on that hasn't been revealed to the American people yet, And there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. I've been real hesitant to share a lot of these things. I get people asking me all the time about, you know, the blockchain stuff and the watermarks. And, you know, there's been a couple YouTube videos going around with some operatives talking about how they know that this is just another Trump win. And this was a big setup on the Biden campaign. And it's going to expose all the fraud and the corruption. And I'd love to believe that, but I don't know. I'm real hesitant. My gut tells me it's not true. I think what we need to do is understand that there's a possibility, my friends, that we are not the majority in this country anymore. And there's a real possibility that Donald Trump, that we were outvoted. We were outvoted by morally bankrupt fellow, I don't even want to call them fellow Americans, morally bankrupt countrymen that would rather have socialism than this republic. I think that's a real possibility. As much as I'd love to think that this election was stolen from Donald Trump, and I'd love to find proof of that, and I'd love to believe and buy into some of these conspiracies that we're hearing, I can't say for certain. Now, I'm not dismissing the fact that there is fraud. I'm not putting it past anybody on the left to do whatever they could to cheat. We know that there's been a coup, an attempted coup on this administration from day one. We know that there are crimes that have been committed from day one to get rid of Donald Trump. And yes, I believe with all my heart that they would do anything they could do if they thought it would work to cheat, to defraud our election system and steal this presidency. But that being said, I'm not sure that that's what happened. Yes, the random acts of fraud that have been committed. Yes, that's a reality. But is that level of fraud enough to produce the outcome that we're seeing right now? And if it is that big, I just don't think there's any way that they could get away with it. I don't think there's a way they could keep a lid on it. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is that big and they won't keep a lid on it. That's what the Trump administration's saying. They're going to go to court. It's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. They're going to fight this. They believe they have Michigan and Wisconsin and North Carolina and Georgia. They believe they have Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona. No doubt there's a lot of funny business that's going on. No doubt there's a lot of things that, at the very least, you got to pause and say that's suspicious. But I'm just preparing you guys. I think there's another reality that we need to face, we need to start accepting. And that reality is there's a good possibility that the majority of the people in this country don't want America anymore. They don't believe in American traditional values. I don't know what they're looking at. I don't know what model is, you know, making them feel like the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. You know, Venezuela took a decade. They were the fourth richest country in the world. And in one decade, they went from what we are today to where they are today. Are we headed that direction here in the United States? Stick with us, my friends. I'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Nikki Garris, and it's great to be here with you on this fine Saturday afternoon. Now, it's no joke that I'm a little off today. I'm sad. My heart's broken. Things did not go how any of us thought they would go. And I think all of you guys are probably in my boat. I think if you're listening to this show, I feel like you probably are feeling a little bit of what I'm feeling right now. And I'm angry. And I'm thinking about if things play out the way I think they will. And I'm not trying to be a downer, and I'm not saying that I've lost all hope completely, but I'm recognizing there's a possibility that Joe Biden will be sworn in as the next president of the United States. And we know what that means, don't we? Because Biden is not capable of being president of the United States. We know that he's a puppet. We know that his handlers will be running the country, calling the shots, making the decisions. We know that Kamala will be stepping in shortly. And we know how dangerous that is. The reality is, Joe Biden, as bad as he is, as far as the Democrats go, he's actually pretty moderate. He is not the guy that they want as president of the United States. I mean, that is if his faculties were all in place. We know that mentally he's just not equipped to do anything anymore. He's in the early stages of dementia, I believe. And that's obvious. If you watched him on the campaign trail, what little campaigning he did, it's obvious that he just doesn't have the capacity for this job. We would be better off if he did, actually, because if he managed to get elected as Joe Biden when he was at his best, as a Democrat, he was pretty moderate. What should scare you is the people that have used Joe Biden, used him to get the White House, and what they're going to do, because they are the ones in charge. What should scare you is that Kamala Harris will be second in line if things play out, if he actually gets sworn in as the president. Kamala Harris will be second in line. And let me tell you, my friend, she is further left than Bernie Sanders. She makes Bernie Sanders look like a moderate. It's going to be bleak. And I believe that there's a lot of people that probably did not vote for Donald Trump because they couldn't handle his personality, because he said some inappropriate things in his past, because he's had an affair, because they're just not sure that he's Christian enough, because they don't like his tweets. I believe there's going to be a lot of people that refused to vote for Donald Trump that in 4 years are going to be really regretting that decision. Not 4 years. Sooner than later, possibly. Very much so regretting that decision. Looking back on the good old days when Trump was our president and our economy was strong, and we had world peace. We didn't have any of our troops fighting endless wars. We weren't spending billions of dollars overseas. We weren't being ripped off by China through horrible trade deals. Our industry was back in this country and coming back rapidly. Regulations were lifted. We were number one in oil production and energy. We're going to think back about those days. And those of you that decided that you couldn't support Donald Trump because you didn't like his personality, you're going to be sorry for what you've done. Because what's coming under a Biden administration? And I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not over yet. And we all need to be praying. We have to keep the Senate. That's not guaranteed. These races that are being contested right now, these recounts that are going to be happening because it's too close to call, we have got to keep the Senate. Because if we lose the White House and we lose the Senate, there's nothing stopping them. Thank God our president, our real president, was able to get the Supreme Court nominees that he did. Thank God he was able to put so many judges, over 600 judges in the federal courts, and then the three Supreme Court picks, conservative constitutionalist picks. Thank God we have them. But we need to pray that we keep the Senate. If we can keep the Senate, we can keep the next president in line. We can stop them from doing a lot of things that would crush this nation that they have every intention of doing. I can't say how important that is. Our focus actually right now, I know we want to watch what's happening in this presidential race. I know we're pissed off, but our focus should be on the Senate races. Right now, there's nothing more we can do for the presidential race. Right now, though, we need to ensure that we protect the Senate. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and it is Saturday afternoon, and it's Hell Week, isn't it? Right? That's kind of how I feel. Remember that you can always follow our page on Facebook, Patriot Uprising Radio, and you can also send me an email at mickey@kslm.news.com. So, we appreciate that feedback and hearing from you guys. And just let us know that you're out there and make sure that you're sharing the show with your friends. Right now, it's important that we stick together, right? There's so much happening and it's going to be happening pretty quick. And we're the doers. We're the group of people that keep the country rolling, and we need to stay vigilant. And let me tell you, have you been paying attention to Portland and what's going on? I mean, things are going really well right now for the left, right? They think that they're going to get the White House. Now, it's up in the air until the courts make their decisions, I think, but it wasn't like Biden, you know, just got beat down hard. Now, the Republicans overall did very well. And Trump did very well. You know, Trump has more votes from the minorities than any other president, Republican president, ever has. So here you have this guy that is supposed to be the most racist president America's ever had. that's just bigoted. He's against all minorities. He's against homosexuals. He's against transgenders. And the margin grew with him. The margin of the minorities that follow him, that believe him, that support him, that voted for him, that appreciate him, grew. If he truly is the racist that the media has tried to make him out to be, that they've painted this picture the last 4 years, he must be the worst racist that ever walked the earth. He's doing an awful job because the minority groups love him. The margin has grown more with him than any other Republican president in history. It just doesn't make sense. You know why? Because he's none of those things. He's not a racist. He's not a bigot. He's an American. He's a patriot. He loves this country and he loves the citizens and he wants to protect our values. But he's also kind and compassionate, inclusive. Look at who he hires. Race, color, creed, gender, none of that come into play. He hires people that can do the job, and that's that. That is who he is. So we've had a lot of wins. Even though it's been a hard week, even though things with his election haven't gone how we hoped they would go, he still has made his mark. He is very powerful in the Republican Party. The Republican Party, the GOP, know that he is the leader, that he has the support, that he has the followers. And you know what? The other races that have been going on this week, Congress and Senate, Donald Trump pushed so many of these guys over the top. So many of these people rode Donald Trump's coattails to get their W. And where are they now? Not many of them are standing up for our president right now. Not many of them are looking into the corruption and the fraud that is suspected. They're keeping their mouth shut. They've already got their mind made up. They don't think he's going to make it, and they're not going to make any waves. They're going to put their heads down in the sand and try to blend in with the swamp. Things are going to go back to normal, right? They never would have been on board with Donald Trump in the first place if they didn't have to be. But they used him. These disgusting rhinos used him. And that's what Republicans should really be pissed off about. We've seen the true colors of so many of these rhinos, so many of these people that really did nothing in the last 4 years to defend or protect Donald Trump. They buttered up to him just enough to make sure that they got reelected. Those are the people that we need to remember. Coming up in the next elections, these are the people, the ones that didn't stand up for Donald Trump. The Republicans that watched this happen from the sidelines and didn't say anything, didn't acknowledge that they are there for one reason and one reason only, because Donald Trump put them there. We can do better than that, my friends. We can find better representation. We can find people that have spines. We can find candidates that have the backbone that are going to defend this Constitution, protect this republic, and represent you and I. Because you know who did represent us? You know who does represent us? More so than any elected official ever has is Donald Trump. And he represented everybody. Going back to the things that he did in this country, what he did on the world stage, what he did to bring peace to the Middle East. How do you think that's going to turn out when Joe gets sworn into office, if he makes it? How quickly do you think Iran's going to turn on us and start talking really tough? How soon do you think Korea is going to launch another missile into the sky? What about China or Russia? How fast do you think our industry is going to bail and go overseas again? What do you think our trade deals are going to look like in 2 years? How's our economy going to be? Have you guys thought about that? Remember what I said, Venezuela, 10 years, 10 years. They went from being the fourth wealthiest country in the world to what they have right now. And we have a majority population. A majority population in this country that wants to implement the same type of government. Can you believe that? I don't know if I should be embarrassed or scared or pissed off or all of the above, but the idiots, can you imagine? I mean, I'm trying to be nice, but idiots. I just don't understand how they can get behind this. But you know what it is? It's evil. We've got evil in this country like we've never had before. And the devil is working overtime here in the United States. He's working really hard to destroy us, to destroy our Christian foundation. And you know what? He's gaining a lot of traction. We have so many weak-minded people that are just, they're buying it. They're loving it up. They're falling for it. Now, you and I, we might look back, we might step back and think, yeah, not today, Satan. But we're the minority now, right? So the question is, what do we do? What can we do? See, I had the realization today that on the grand scheme of things, there's not a lot I can do. I can't change the outcome of this election. I can't wave some magic wand and make a bunch of ballots appear for Donald Trump. Well, although that might be what the Democrats did for Biden. But we still got to wake up every day and we still got to put one foot in front of the other and we got to take care of our own business. And that's how we're going to fix this. That's the reality of it. What's done is done. The old saying, there's no use crying over spilt milk, right? Yeah, we can be upset about it. Yeah, we can remember. Never forget. I've got this sick feeling in my gut. And I'm real upset about it. But that doesn't do anything to change the outcome. How we change the outcome is start focusing on who do you directly impact? What can you do in your circle to make life better for everybody? How do you keep moving forward to make your own life better? What kind of an influence are you for your family, your children, your community? What are you doing to volunteer, to engage, to make sure that our American values that we believe are so important live on in the next generation? That's what we need to do. That's our job. And that's how we win this fight. And you need to understand, we've got to be in it for the long game. And this is one of the reasons why the left has been so successful at accomplishing what they've accomplished. They have been in it for the long game. They have been very methodical and they have been working for decades and decades and decades to instill their ideology in our youth, to brainwash the kids in the schools. And this is the result. Now we have a majority population that thinks like this. We know it's wrong. We see right through it. But it is what it is. Stick with us. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris. Thanks for joining me here on this Saturday afternoon. And let me just apologize to you a little bit. I've not been upbeat this show, and you guys know why. I've spent the entire show talking about it. But I'm not meaning to bring you guys down with me. I think we're all feeling it. But, I want you to know that there's still hope. I'm not losing the hope. I'm keeping the faith. And that's, I guess, the biggest thing right there is faith. We need to remember that regardless of what happens and, you know, what we might feel, what kind of emotions we might have about the outcome, good or bad, at the end of the day, it was never in our hands, right? And God has a plan, and we don't always understand the plan. We don't always like the plan when it's right in front of us because we don't understand it. But God does have a plan, and we know that He is directly involved in these decisions. He chooses our leaders for a reason. And I think Trump has done a job, has done an amazing job. And I think he was put there because God put him there. And if it's time for something different, it's time for something different. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't engage and continue to exercise our rights and vote and preach and communicate and do everything we can. But at the end of the day, despite our efforts, it's God's will, right? And so that's what we need to remember. And He's not going to do anything that's going to be bad for us. Sometimes we don't understand. But down the road, I bet we're going to see what's going on. I bet we're going to see the truth. And it's going to click and we're going to know, oh, thank you for that, Lord. That's why you did that. And maybe President Trump, maybe he has an even higher calling. Maybe he has an even bigger purpose. That's hard to fathom. What could be bigger than the President of the United States? But maybe God's not done with him yet. Because, again, there hasn't been any president in our history that has stood up for biblical principles and values and Christianity and Israel and peace the way Donald Trump has. And I think he'll be rewarded for that. And so just, we've got to trust the plan. I know that probably doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't make me feel better. But we can't forget that it's not always in our hands and that there's a higher authority and He's working hard for us too. And if this is how it is, there's a good reason for that. And we need to have faith in that. We need to always remember that. We need to try to let that be our guiding light that helps us stay a little bit upbeat and keeps us from being depressed about what's happened this week. And depression's kind of a big word, but I think there's been a lot of that going on. And so we need to do a good job of watching out for community and being there for each other. I mean, what more can we do, right? Now it's just pray and wait and be there for each other. Let's talk about the state a little bit. Let's talk about our dictator Brown and the legislator and the voters here in Oregon. Wow. What an embarrassment, you know? Decriminalizing heroin and other hard drugs like that. Legalizing mushrooms. Do they really think that that's going to help things? Do they really think that that's going to cause people to be more responsible? I voted no on every measure. Everybody called me. Everybody emailed me. They sent me messenger messages. Mick, what do we do on these measures? Mick, how are you voting on these measures? Mick, explain these measures to me. It was exhausting. I've told everybody I should start a consulting business during election season. No, don't get me wrong. I do love doing it. I like helping people and I like explaining things to people. But on all the measures, I voted no on everything. I mean, and the way they word these measures, it's so dishonest. They're not being forthright. They're tricking people when they read them, so they don't understand what it's really about. We just can't be naive on that stuff. You know, cigarettes, let's talk about that one. Everybody said, what do you mean you voted no? Well, you know, we should tax the cigarettes. I said, why? I said, well, what if they tax you for being fat? What do you mean? I said, hey, you know, can you name anything else that just gets picked on over and over again? That cigarettes already, people that smoke have been paying taxes on their cigarettes for a long time. Expensive taxes. They don't pick on anything else. What if they decide to tax your Mountain Dew? What if they decide to do like what New York tried to do? And hey, if you buy a large soda at McDonald's, you're going to get taxed because of that. Or just we're going to ban it because that's bad. See, I'm not for more taxes, and I'm not for picking on people's vices just because you think that society doesn't like it. You think society doesn't accept smoking or smokers. It's been painted as this nasty habit, right? But is it any more dangerous? Is it any more costly to society than the numerous other things? Is it any more costly to society than the heart disease that fast food causes? See, that's some of their argument. We're taxing cigarettes because these people end up having health issues and cancer and lung disease and this and that, and it costs us money. But you could name a million other things that are probably far more dangerous than smoking that also cost us money, that cost us more money. But for some reason, that industry is always picked on. Now, I'm not a smoker. I don't care for it. I don't like how it smells. I like to smoke a pipe. I, you know, you give me some good pipe tobacco, Abba cigars and wine here in Salem. I got a nice Savinelli pipe. Me and my friends, we do a Bible study. We call it Pipes and Parables. And we smoke some good tobacco, read some scripture, and talk about life. It's a great time. But cigarettes, I don't care for cigarettes. I don't like cigarettes. But I don't think people that smoke cigarettes need to be picked on. I don't think they need to be taxed all the time. And I think it's a slippery slope, because as soon as you start doing that, what other vices or what other things that you might do that all of a sudden society deems unnecessary or just frowned upon, and they decide to start taxing it just because they can? I think it's wrong. And I don't think the people that smoke should be responsible for paying a tax that nobody else has to pay. So Oregon has got a lot of problems on the horizon, my friends. A lot of problems. And our taxes in the state are just going to continue to go on the up. And your governor, what's she going to do to help? Well, come next week, she's going to be shutting us down again. Did you hear that? Yep, that COVID's getting out of control again. I was expecting if Biden wins the presidency that they would find a cure for it immediately. But since it's up in there still, she's going to drag her feet. And yeah, she's locking us down again. She doesn't want us to have our get-togethers around the holiday season. And she's going to be shutting down industry, shutting down businesses, locking the doors. That's Dictator Brown. We've got to change things here in Oregon. We've got to fix stuff at a local level. And we've got to flip this state. And then we can worry about the rest of the country. Because really, it doesn't matter what's going on in Washington, D.C. when we have a dictator like Kate Brown and a supermajority Democrat legislation destroying this state. God bless you guys. We'll catch you next time here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.